WPG Talk Radio 95.5.
And a happy new year, sort of early. Yes, in a parallel universe of Rack and Fin Radio. When the season opens, it is indeed cause for a New Year's celebration opening on Monday. Yo, I just can't believe it closed, man. The time is flying. The Back Bay and Tidal River and Creek striped bass season reopens. Now, joining us on the line, is our 18th year doing this. 18th now. Captain Dave, the Rave Show of Seeking Bay Sports Center, 81 Natalie Terrace, and the Seeking had the faith in me way back when, 18 years ago, said, Tom P, we got to make this an annual thing. I said, absolutely, Dave. Remember that, Dave? Do you remember that?
Yeah, I'm here and I remember. And it's 18 years, almost can't believe it.
Yeah, then Cap, as you know, as he said to me once, Tom P, you've aged disgracefully. Well, Cap, I'm going to go to a quick break. It's back. Listeners, two segments, early season striped bass tactics with the one and only Captain Dave Scholl. Grab that cup, grab that Rebel. Be right back. Rack and Fin Radio.
WPG Talk Radio 95.5 FM and 1450 AM, South Jersey's talk station.
Kendall Auto Plaza offers the area's best car and truck buying experience with 60 years of customer satisfaction and community service. What's on their 100-acre lot? A huge inventory of Ford, Lincoln, Dodge, Jeep, Ram, Chrysler, and over 100 quality and certified pre-owned vehicles. Whether you use your car, truck, or SUV for work or play, discover why Kendall customers are so loyal. Kendall Auto Plaza, exit 10 of the Parkway on Stone Harbor Boulevard, or shop from home at KendallAutoPlaza.com.
There's deer up ahead.
Okay, I'm slowing down. We're buckled up, and I know if we see one deer, there's probably more behind it.
What if it runs out on the road?
That's why I'm slowing down. I'll never swerve to avoid a deer. That could make me hit another car or a tree.
I heard that over 1 million vehicle deer crashes take place each year in the U.S. That's why everyone has to be vigilant for deer, even in areas they don't expect.
That's true. It's up to us, not the deer, to stay safe. This message from the New Jersey Division of Highway Traffic Safety, the New Jersey Broadcasters Association, and this station.
Download Rack and Fin Radio as a podcast on the WPG Talk Radio app. Rack and Fin Radio with Tom P. WPG Talk Radio 95.5.
Yeah, back inside Rack and Fin Radio with me, Tom P. Joining us, our annual early season striper get down, kick down, kick ass is Captain Dave, the Rave Show, Absecon Bay Sports Center, 81 Natalie Terrace, and Absecon. Captain Dave, the season's here. It really snuck up on us, and I mean, Dave, that incredible white perch bite in between the cold snaps with all the small stripers being caught and released, people that were released. I mean, this come away now. We have ugly weather today and tomorrow, Dave. Some runoff, whatever. Maybe Tuesday, Wednesday might be better, but this is going to be a kick-ass, I believe, Dave, early season. What's your take?
My take is, number one, that it's relatively warm, even if we're getting some rain today, and tomorrow's iffy, and Monday is some showers. It's warmed up. We had some great 50-degree weather for the last 3 days before this. The sun's been out. The shallows are warmed up. And from the reports I've been getting all winter long, there's plenty of stripers in all these South Jersey tidal rivers, and I'm sure some of them are going to be ready to bite on Monday.
And, Dave, one of the things I run into, I'm surprised that, I guess, regionally, mines are closed. I talked to some guys up North Jersey. You know me, Dave. I'm all over the state. But there ain't no keepers in the backwaters when it first opens. And I said, I beg your pardon? And I leave it at that, Cap, because I don't want them coming down here, you know? But, I mean, the chances of getting a keeper back here are more than fair, no?
Well, last year, when it opened up, it was a lot colder than we're looking out today, this dreary weather. And I had the first one brought out of the Mullica on March 4th. And then I think it was about the 8th, and this one crew got on the jig bite down. I think they were in Great Egg Harbor River, but they were already on the jig bite, and I had three guys in a little tin boat, and the three of them brought in keeper stripers.
Right.
So that's what we're looking at. We're looking at a completely different fishery than we did 18 years ago. That's for sure.
For sure. Dave, the graveling point's been historically, shout out to Scotty Albertson. I don't even know if Scotty's still around from the old Scott's Bait and Tackle there on Radio Road. Graveling Point was always where you had to be, April or March 1st, rather, where you had to be March 1st. And, Dave, I go down there at 3 or 4 in the morning, and there's already 50 guys lined up. Is that bite still, I mean, and Scott showed me some records over the years that a lot of times, plenty of small fish, when it came to a keeper, it was late March, early April, mid-April. So, I mean, there are better spots. Graveling Point, historic, yes, but there are better spots in the early season, correct?
Well, now, somebody will correct me because they'll think I'm wrong, but if you look back to that time, you know, if there was stripers biting in the river like there are today, or there will be on Monday, oh, they were today.
Yeah.
Or they will be today. They'll definitely be Monday. You know, there would have been a load of people fishing there then. You can't hide a spot. You know, this is New Jersey. People got feelers everywhere. These fishermen, and the thing is, Graveling Point, yes, was the spot, and I think you had just an infinitely smaller population of these local, whether they're local or migrants. Nobody knows that yet, and that's another story we might get a second to touch on. But those fish were scattered. And you might get a few small ones, but now there we have a population that I believe, maybe because the water's warmer, but number one, I believe there's just more schoolie stripers, and they come in wherever they're sitting offshore, and they spend the winter in this brackish areas in the deep holes, and then they start nosing out as soon as that temperature and the day length come together, and we have it. We have it right now, so there's way, way more stripers. I know in the local area, and I believe up and down the coast. But somebody will correct me on that one.
I don't know, Dave, where corrections may come or go, but you've been spot on with that. I really don't like that term. That was a Corzine term, but spot on with that for the past, God, 5 or 6, 7 years. I would say I'm seeing more, and the people I speak to, and when we're out there. They were seeing loads of bass. Schoolies, you know, maybe a keeper here, but loads of bass. Now, Dave, do you think it's a regional, like local population, regional population, strictly a migratory population? What's your take? Now, you've been here 35 years, Shoal, so you've seen the highs, the lows, the in-betweens, the lows again, and the highs again. What's your take?
Well, here's just an example. Now, back 35 years ago, I was here before the moratorium. The limit was 18 inches, and you were allowed 10 stripers a day if you could find them. Mm-hmm. Well, just all it would have taken to make the newspaper was one legal 18-inch striper in the Mullica River or Egg Harbor River. 35 years ago, that would have been big news.
Mm-hmm.
And now they got to be 28 inches, and I'm betting that there are going to be keeper stripers brought into my shop here on Monday before 6 o'clock closing time.
No doubt about it. We're speaking with Captain Dave the Rave Shoal of Seacon Bay Sportsman Center, 81 Natalie Turrison of Seacon, our annual 18th annual opening day, opening week, early season striper segment. Dave, to the bass right now. I mean, the population seems healthy. I've seen the fish. I've caught some local fish, you know, the brownish, almost goldish color. And a little later on, you get the silvery ones and ones coming up. In rivers like the Egg Harbor River, where the standing freshwater record was caught back in, 2000, 2001 or whatever. And you used to do some fike netting back there. The herring. Remember the herring now? There's a moratorium on the herring. The bass are still coming up. They're still spawning. Baits for the rivers, Dave. What do you got?
Well, we can't use the herring, and that's the that's the big one. That was so much fun. That was too much fun, Cat. You know, the whole part, it turned people on. It got everybody excited for the year. You know, we're coming on a full moon right this week. I can tell. I've seen it out there. I know where the tides are. Now, I would be out, out there getting my herring nets out.
Right.
Now, because I will, whenever the first either full moon or new moon is in March, there will be herring in the rivers. So I'll guarantee you they're up there.
Mm-hmm.
And there'll be stripers at least following them. Now that we've been getting more and more bunker in the rivers, and I think it's one of the reasons we don't see as many stripers following the herring schools, because they are just so keyed onto the vast schools of bunker that are outside. Yeah. Uh-huh. And if they happen to come inside, they'll bring more fish with them. So we're looking at fish that will want fish. It's water's still a little cold. They're a little slowed down. And that's why the number one river bait for striped bass, without a doubt, is bloodworms. Probably sandworms. I've got somebody mention that on Facebook today, but nobody up here uses them, and I've tried to sell them, and it doesn't work. So bloodworms are the bait.
Well, Dave, again, to the bloodworms, availability and price. Listeners, you want bleep bait, you pay low prices, and you get basically snotsicles. But if you want the best bait, these big worms, Dave, they are expensive, but you get what you pay for insofar as ultimate success, correct?
Well, it definitely seems like the bloodworms are the bait, and well, the more worm, more worm flavor, whatever good flavor that is, you put in the water, the better odds you are of hooking up.
But then availability, though, are you able to get them? I mean, once that bite starts, that rush starts, all of a sudden, bloods in particular at an extreme premium, price wise, not so much price, availability wise. So, Dave, is the pipeline open? I mean, are things getting in?
Well, they're definitely getting in. One thing, I think the COVID situation is getting better instead of worse this year, so that should be a help on the bloodworms. But, well, my secret is I've been selling a lot of them, and since bloodworms aren't my only business, I got a local bait wholesaler that I've worked with strictly for the last few years, and since I've been buying all winter long this year, you know, the last 2 weeks were a little cold. February was a little cold, but it wasn't too cold, and when the wind stopped blowing, the perch were biting, and I was selling bloodworms all through the winter. So he's happy to bring them to me. So if anybody in South Jersey gets them, he better be bringing them to me. And all they do is deal bloodworms. They have some of their own diggers up in Maine. This is a big project. If my guy has them, and he's been the number one worm getter in South Jersey for the last few years, I'll have them. And they're not cheap. And to be perfectly honest with everybody, and I tell you, they are the absolute worst bait to have, because yes, they are expensive.
Mm-hmm.
They're always small, and I gotta put 12 in a dozen bag. And I tell you, there's supposed to be 125 bloodworms in each box that I'm getting. And if I can count 10 dozen out of that box, it's a charmed box.
Gotcha. Yeah, we're speaking with Captain Dave, the Rave Show of Sinking Bay Sports Center. Topic is, well, that's on the bloodworms. Want to get into some other baits, especially the gulp, the power baits, the bloodworm alternative, as they speak, or the fish bites. Captain Dave, can you hang in for a second segment there, bud?
Sure, we can just wait this out. We got nothing else to do. Well, we might have a few worm customers come through this morning, but I'm here at the shop, so.
And listen, by the way,
I got plenty to do.
Do not ever attempt to get in the Absecon Bay Sports Center. Dave's not there, and Sugar is on guard, because you will have a bite to your ankles like you will not believe. Grab that cup, grab that Rebel. Be right back. Rack and Fin Ready with Captain Dave Scholl.
If you're wondering what to do with your money in these unusual economic times, or if you have questions about retirement planning, IRAs, 401ks, or taxes, then listen to The Heart of Your Money, Saturday morning at 8 on WPG, featuring author and financial expert Joe Yakovich. The Heart of Your Money will focus on you, your family, and your financial portfolio. The Heart of Your Money with Joe Yakovich, Saturday morning at 8 on WPG. Talk Radio 95.5.
A message from your neighbors and friends at First Bank. We've been serving residents and businesses of Sea Isle City and the surrounding communities for more than 130 years. Today's challenges, while unique, are another opportunity to show our strength and resilience. Our commitment to you remains strong, whether it's using our drive-through services, bank by phone, the First Bank mobile app, or online banking. We're staying strong with you. Be safe and be secure. First Bank, here for you.
Member FDIC, Equal Housing Lender.
Rack and Fin Radio with Tom P. WPG Talk Radio 95.5.
Here we go. Look out below. You're back inside Rack and Fin Radio with me, Tom P. Weekend of February 27th and 28th. Glad that second turn of the calendar page is over. And we have March opening a striper season Monday. But, man, at my age, whew. That time is flying too quickly. Online is Captain Dave, the Rave Show, of Seeking Bay Sports and Center, 81 Natalie Terrace, and Seeking our 18th annual early season opening day Stripe Bass segment. Well, Captain Dave, here's the deal. Bait, bait, bait. Okay, the bloodworms, the grass shrimp. But there is one, a jig game. There is a gulp game on jigs or on whatever. And there's a plug game in the early season, correct, Cap? Give me the lowdown.
No, these guys are coming in hungry. These warm days especially. And last year, well, I guess more and more people are learning it. I haven't, you know, it's really something. I don't get to fish much in the spring because I'm stuck in here. But I am trying to put together a better crew this year. I'm trying to get started. I hope to be running some Mullica River Madness early spring trips where we catch a bunch of these stripers. So just keep in contact for that. But yeah, there's been an early jig bite and lure bite that's really seems to be getting better and better every year.
Well, Dave, you're the one that's keying on because gulp flounder, gulp fluke, gulp flounder, gulp fluke, gulp flounder, gulp fluke, and you would say, Tom P, it works on the bass as well. Dave, you pioneered that. I mean, you didn't pioneer gulp, but you pioneered gulp for the stripers. Go into that, please.
Well,
you did that, Dave. You.
Well, I found that out a long time ago. I sat one December high tide in the Absecon Inlet, and everybody's taking the very last of the spot they're around, dragging eels, and everybody's looking. I stopped in there with my gulp on to look, marked fish on top of the rip, and one of my employees at the time came with us and we just started bailing. In 2 hours, we had released over 75.
I remember getting that call from you, man.
And yeah, only one hit the 28-inch line, but it was just amazing, and people are going crazy when watching this, but. Same thing happens. For the last couple of years, my favorite has absolutely been, the 6.5-inch Nemesis. And as you told me way back when, if it ain't chartreuse, it ain't no use. And that chartreuse 6.5-inch wiggle tail thing has caught some stripers over the last 5 years or so that it's been around.
Let me interrupt you, Cap. Listeners, again, I always give credit where credit's due. I get a call from Captain Dave. Hey, Captain Dave, what's up? Tom P, there is a Nemesis on the premises. I said, that's like something I would say. I said, what are you talking about? Dave was keyed in on the Nemesis bait before I got the press release. And Dave, you call that not only for the fluke, but you call that for the stripers. And it's been gangbusters since. But did Pure Fishing at least send you a medal or a plaque or something?
Yeah, well, hopefully when I get out of here and I'm just fishing, they'll send me a lifetime supply. But no, very seriously, that Nemesis has got a wiggle. It imitates an eel, which are just starting to come out of the bottom here. Mm-hmm. Yeah, it's definitely a better eel imitation than any rubber eel or anything else in the market. And I don't even think that's what they made for it. It's a sand eel out in the ocean, and it's just a teasing bait anytime you rip it in front of a bass in 3 feet of water.
Well, Dave, to the bait itself now, when I get to some artificials, I'm a little cut here because I miss it in my notes here. But with the bait, again, bloodworms, clams. Some guys use clams in the back. They work. circle hook mandate is in effect, correct?
Oh, yeah. If anything natural or alive, right. You absolutely have to have circle hooks, inline circle hooks, if you are targeting striped bass.
Right. Well, Dave, to the bloodworms, gulp. We know how gulp works. I've had, knock your socks off success with the fish bites bloodworm and the gulp bloody blood bloodworm for the white perch. Either work for bass?
Well, they definitely, anything, up in the rivers where they're just rooting around trying to pick up something. Yeah, that fish bites will work very well. But what's a really good trick is that fish bites is so tough. You just put a little piece of that on, ahead of your bloodworms. And if a perch sucks your bloodworm off or something else, takes the bloodworm, you still got something there to attract them to get back for one more bite. And that empty hook with just a little bit of fish bites is probably the bite that'll get them.
Well, Captain Dave, to the plugs. Now, I've been up there at Gaskill Park in Mays Landing, watch guys plug some stripers, some nice-sized stripers. I was there way back when swimming, herring under a balloon or a big bobber, and using the jig heads and a whole bit with the Mr. Twister, the sassy shads. You're saying now that Gulp has a paddle tail out that you think's going to kick bass ass this spring?
Yeah, I was still excited with my Nemesis, and I didn't get to there yet. No, they paddle tails have turned into the hot bait. Whatever you're using, you got them. All the companies have them. Yes, Tsunami's got a lot of shads that are really good.
Right. Yeah.
I got a. Any of them will work, but Gulp finally came out with a really active paddle tail in some fantastic colors. Everybody gives these weird names and it drives me crazy. So I'll just say it's a Gulp paddle tail. They have them from 3 inches to 6 inches.
Right now,
it may be the small ones on a, if they're up on the shallows looking for the first minnows out of the bottom, they may be looking there. But I tell you what, these 6 inchers have enough body and enough action to imitate or at least get the impression of a live herring, and maybe just a little bit smaller, it'll fit in their mouths. And I tell you what, I've had some 12 inch bass get this 6 inch. Six-inch paddle tail down the throat, and this fall when they first came out, and I tell you what, I was impressed in the fall, and I expect to really, really put some fish in the boat with the Gulp paddle tails in the next couple of months.
Okay, David. Well, Cap, you gave some spots, you gave some locations. We covered the tackle listeners, the live bait, the plastic baits, the plugs. Captain Dave, what about someone who wants to learn? Are you one? I don't know how he would do it. Running the shop and the charter business. Are you going to have any open dates for charters, Dave?
Well, I'm planning on putting it in. I know I got a good crew that can handle my shop and let me get out on the boat, which I really love. And I've been paying attention to that Mullica River, doing a lot of fishing up there in the fall, and I know this springtime is turning on, and I'm going to do the Mullica River Madness trips, and we're going to do. Well, we either do strictly lures or maybe live eels for when the big ones start coming up. But we're going to do a lot of lures in the bank. And if you want to guarantee some take home dinner, we'll do some combination white perch and striper bait trips too. So we're good. Well, the only way to know what's going on is to watch the Facebook page of Absecon Bay Facebook page and just look for. Yeah, keep following what's up, and we'll be getting out there, and I hope a lot of you listeners will decide to take a ride and come with me.
Well, Captain Dave, listeners, I fish with the man. He is a machine. Let me tell you something. He is a machine that will get you fish. Okay, David. Well, Captain Dave, for the bass, we're up against heartbreak. What about some gift certificates, something for the effort, man? Worth it. What do you got?
Well, if you're number one to come through the door here at Absecon Bay Sportsman Center with a with a keeper bass. It's going to be a $200 gift certificate to the store.
Woo!
And yeah, number two gets a $100 gift certificate, and number three gets 50. But what one thing I'm doing this year, so we don't have a race for the roses, but let you keep and keep fishing with your time. Just if you catch a fish, and if more than one fish comes in on the same on the first day, then we're gonna make it so the biggest of the the biggest of the keepers will actually be the winner.
Okay, Cap.
So,
that sounds good. That sounds fair, Cap. We'll see this coming week. And don't forget, listeners, by the way, trout season is going to be catch and release. Okay, two opening days, April 1st to April 9th. And then again, from April 10th on, you can keep them. Dave, do you realize, again, with the COVID-induced, thing, I have an article going to Fishermen on the Water or whatever, they are at Absecon Bay, or not Absecon, I call it the Absecon Pit, at Heritage Park Pond and Birch Grove. Dave, they're getting their full year's allocation by March 30th or 31st. Listeners, you can walk on the trout in those areas. And Dave, I know you have the spinners there from Tsunami. You have the power bait, so you're gonna be tearing your hair out, Shoal.
Yeah, we'll have to get that, because
you're gonna be busy as all get up. Okay, Captain Dave, one more time with the Facebook page and the phone number.
Go. Yeah, we're here. It's Facebook page is Absecon Bay Sportsman Center. And the phone number, which you always answer, it's 609-484-0409. Give me a call. We'll set everything up. We'll get you fishing.
Hey, Shoal, in closing, 18 years. Man, we're like the stalwarts, the sort of old timers. Oh, my God. It keeps going. What do you think?
Let's just keep it going for a long, long time. I believe the fishing's getting better, and let's see how good it can get in the next 18 years.
Okay, Cap, we'll see you this week, brother. Be good. Best to Judy and Kevin.
Okay, well, you got it.
See ya. Yeah, we got some heartbreak. Coming up. Ronnie Jones, ACP, Red X Pride, Game Calls and Outdoor Sense. Coyote, Gray Fox, and Red Fox. Last few weeks of the season, it is time to get to the Predator. You are the hunted. Be right back. Rack and Fin Radio.
WPG Talk Radio 95.5 FM and 1450 AM. South Jersey's number one talk station.
This is a Fox News alert. The House passes the president's COVID relief bill in a pre-dawn vote, just days after U.S. COVID deaths topped 500,000.
Each day, this pandemic reaches into our communities, devastating families' health, financial security, and well-being.
Speaker Pelosi, as the $1.9 trillion measure passes along party lines with no support from Republicans.
It does next to nothing to help save struggling Main Street businesses survive.
GOP Congressman Kevin Brady. The bill includes $1,400 stimulus checks for many Americans and money for schools, local governments, and vaccine distribution. The Senate takes up the bill next week. And three people died last night when their single-engine plane crashed shortly after takeoff in northern Georgia. I'm Carmen Roberts, and this is a Fox News Alert.
Your WPG Talk Radio 95.5 AccuWeather forecast for South Jersey. Cloudy overnight with occasional rain, chilly, low 38. Saturday, rain should end by early in the afternoon, otherwise clouds may break for some sun, mild, high 57. Turning cloudy Saturday night with a shower late, low 42. Rain at times Sunday, high 48, a shower early Monday, then becoming partly sunny, high 51. I'm AccuWeather's Kurt Babinski on WPG Talk Radio 95.5.
Rack and Fin Radio with Tom P. WPG Talk Radio 95.5.
Hey, welcome back to Rack and Fin Radio with me, Tom P. Final weekend in February. Whoa, can you believe it already? Hey, listen, download the WPG Talk Radio app to get to the Rack and Fin Radio podcast, and they are there. You're not available to listen 5 to 6 or 7 to 8. They are archived and ready to go. Okay, now we got the birds still flying, the light and snow geese. That season's going to run until a conservation order, until I guess April 11th or something like that. Well, I give it another... maybe another couple of weeks, maybe it's St. Paddy's Day, and those geese are going to be gone for the most part. But the Coyote and Fox seasons are still open. I know it's getting near the end. The season ends the 15th. Early season for these critters can be crazy. Predator hunting is growing by leaps and bounds, the popularity of it, which the corollary being, you get that many people in the woods blowing on calls and stuff like that. These canids get really, really wary. So I called to join us on Rack and Fin is Ronnie Jones, president, owner, ACP Rednecks Pride Game Calls and Outdoor Sense, professional trapper, wildlife control, and also manufacturer of these incredible calls. And he is an ace predator hunting. The whole thing, you are being hunted. As a predator hunter, you are being hunted. Now, it's getting towards the end of the season. Fox mating season was over, I guess, back in December, January, maybe. Coyote season, mating season, winding down. Is this the time for your best chance at getting one of these yodelers and dogs? Ronnie, how you doing, man? Thanks for joining us on Rack and Fin, brother.
Hey, Tommy, how you making out, buddy?
March 15th. I can't believe it. Ron's two and a half weeks away. Where did the winter go? Whoa!
That cold spell we had, that's about all I want. Just let's even out.
Well, Ronnie, the predator hunting game right now, it's winding down. The season ends the 15th. Listeners, there's a general season and the permit season for $2, and that lets you hunt at night, et cetera, at infinite, and we'll go into that a little later. Ron, on the overall predator populations here in central and southern New Jersey, what are you seeing?
Good. We're still down on our red fox in the south, but they're coming back pretty good. The gray foxes are popping up. The coyotes are stable. So we've got a stable population. They're there. The fur prices being low is keeping them there. So, I mean, not a lot of trappers out there. The predator callers is calling, are not really interested in the fur market. So we've got a good population of predators out there.
So Ron, so the hunting opportunities right now winding down, they can be stellar. If you put the time in. Ron, what's the dealio in the late end of the season here, the last end of the season? Anything special going on tactics wise, techniques wise, area wise?
Do what nobody else is doing. That simple. January 1st came. You had the month of January. Everybody was out there.
Everybody was out, Ron. My God.
Everybody was out there. Then we had the snow, you know, this white stuff. I didn't know what it was. I had to look it up in the dictionary, you know. that came, and for what, 3 weeks we had snow down here. And although I like the snow, you know, you get a cold night, crunch, 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 crunch. They can hear that thing for, gee whiz, how many, I don't know how far they can hear that. So, you know, everybody's doing the baby rabbit blues. And what you see at night with the light is baby rabbit blues. You see eyes 150 yards out just looking at you. And so just do what nobody else is doing. You know, that's the key right now.
So, Ron, the call would be what, a mating call still this late in the game, a pup in distress? What do you think?
Well, mating's always works. You know, I mean, that's even back in December, the mating call will work because you got the young males there. They're wanting, okay, and now you've got the males that's not mat, you know, mated up. They're always wanting to get lucky there. So mating calls are really good. I mean, for your foxes, your distress sounds are still there, but then you can add your distress sounds for your red fox or gray fox pup in distress.
Mm-hmm.
They work good, really good for your foxes, along with your distress sounds. Most hunters right now are using electronic calls.
Right, that's the game. Yep.
Well, and I like the electronic call. I got the new. I guess I just got the brand new IcoTech call. I'm really happy with that call. It's got a good speaker on it. I can tone it down, or I can take her out. You know, mm-hmm. high. But the key is, even with the electronic, you got to throw a curveball in there. And what Jennings and I have been doing, it's working pretty good. Is you use your electronic call. Okay, but you also add mouth calls to it, and you separate from your electronic call. You know, we'll get out 40, 50 yards, 100 yards from the electrical call and blow the mouth call. The other night when Jennings and I was out, we had a good night. He just couldn't pull the stupid trigger, you know, shotguns and these critters are saying, you know, we had coyotes saying, I hear you talking, but I ain't coming in. You know, we had their eyes and we had their bodies, you know, 100 yards out, 150 yards out, standing there looking at us.
Ronnie, what is it? Just too many distractions insofar as what?
No, they're smart now.
They're not the dumb ones.
The dumb ones are dead.
These are the PhD dogs, Ronnie.
Yeah, these are the boys that came through the 6-day firearm, which was graduate school, and they're coming through with everybody out there unintentionally, and you know, let's face it, every one of us has made mistakes in this snow. You know, you make some mistakes, crunch, 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 then you blow the call. You know, if the coyote was 100 yards from you, you didn't know it. I can't tell you how many times I've walked out, turned the light on, there's a stupid fox or coyote, you know, within 100 yards of me, and neither one of us knew each other was there until I turned the light on, and then it was like, both of us, you know? So, you know what, definitely mouth, well, you know from past shows, I love doing mouth calls. It's just, you can add realism, create a lot of things, and the mouth call has a lot of volume. I mean, you can reach out and touch them way out there, you know. Jennings was out; I couldn't go with him, but he went out to PA last week with some boys on an afternoon hunt, and the boys was electronic boys totally, and they was impressed with the mouth calls. They called a couple coyotes in, so I mean, they was impressed with the mouth calls. Another thing that really You have to make the calls. You have to be in the places where they're at. These predators are not staying stationary. When it's cold, they're moving. They're looking for food. So you got to figure out where they want to be and where they want to hunt, and get set up. Your setup has got to be perfect. If you're using lights at night, you can set up in the middle of a field. You know, try to get 70, 80 yards off that edge and have the caller off, you know, off that edge, another 30, 40 yards. And you're out in that field a little bit farther. So as they're coming in on the downwind side, they're not getting into your wind, and you can pick them up as they're trying to come out to the field. But they're usually going to walk that edge of that field. But one thing that folks aren't realizing, because everybody's on the kick right now of thermals and night vision, and I'm talking guys left and right, who's using thermals or night vision, and said the coyotes pop out of the edge and all of a sudden shoot back in. And I say, well, you understand what's happening, right? And they say, no. I said, you're sticking out like a silhouette.
There you go. There you go.
our camouflage in the field is our lights. You put the light in their eyes and they can't see. Okay. Thermals and night vision, they can still see. So there's a block standing out in the middle of that field. So you're using thermals or you're using night vision, you gotta get something to break your outline up so you're not standing like a statue out there.
Now Ronnie, during the special permit season, like now, again, listeners, run until March 15th, concurrent with the standard season, where you can use centerfire rifles, you know, up to 80 grains, you know, 22 caliber, 17 to 22 caliber, et cetera. You can use, you know, the shotguns of muzzle. Ron, are you shotgunning it primarily?
I'm mainly a shotgun hunter. Even my 223, I love that thing. But it does a number on a fox, and I just don't want to hit a poor fox with that thing. If I'm going strictly after coyote, I will use my 223. I'm probably going to invest in the 17 WSM.
There you go.
Rimfire. Not the HMR, but the WSM. That's an okay coyote gun for here in Jersey. I mean, you're not reaching out, you know, like you will in PA or New York. But here in Jersey, where we've got, you know, 80 yard shots, that gun will do the trick. If you can get a headshot, you obviously want to do that.
Sure.
If you put it into the Boilermaker, he's gonna run off on you, but you'll probably be able to retrieve him. So you want to, you know, with rifle, if you're using rifles, make sure your shot placement, okay, and mm-hmm. We're not out west, guys, where we're taking 250, 300 yard shots. We're not even out in PA where the average shot is 150 plus right. yards. You know?
Right.
But I'm mainly a shotgunner. I like shotguns.
When it comes to the coyote, the red fox, the gray fox, coyotes seem almost legendary, and they're, for lack of a better term, Ron, intelligence and cunning. The gray fox and the red fox, similar challenges, or one a little more, you know, I guess, a little more in tune than the other?
And friggin' gray foxes. I have seen more gray foxes than I care to even admit. You see them coming bebopping through, and they're gone. Okay. I love that little thing. That little fox is my favorite fox. Mm-hmm. Red foxes will stand there and look at you. You know, I remember a few years ago calling in Texas, and stinking gray fox, you turn the collar on, that fox would, you no sooner had the collar turned on, that sucker was there at the call and gone before you could even get the gun up to your shoulder.
Again, is it just in the genetics that they're so much warier than the reds?
They're not wary. They're just
crazy.
Yeah, they're nuts. Okay. And so, with a gray fox, you really want to watch your edges hard. You're not going to look in your field. Now I'm talking about South Jersey. Okay. When you get up North Jersey and what you're used to up there, Tom, where you grew up, you know, that's wide open woods where we called that right. when we made that TV
video,
show.
Yeah. TV show. Right.
Yeah. I mean, that's wide open. You could see, you know, a ways even at night with a light in that thing. Here down here in South Jersey, you know what we're dealing with. You know, if you get a 30-yard shot, you're great. So,
listeners, believe me, I learned that with Jonesy at Glassboro, the Glassboro Wildlife Management Area. Whoa, I can't see a thing, Jones. And Jennings said, keep your eyes open, man. There he goes. Oh, man.
Yeah, so you got to, you know, with your lights at night, you're using you're seeing the eyes. Don't shoot eyes, please, people. Don't shoot eyes. Mm-hmm. But you see in the eyes, and then you keep the light right on them. And a gray fox will usually stay right at that edge. And that's why you try to set up within the, you know, your range of your shotgun.
Mm-hmm.
Or your right, you know, at night you can't use a rifle, but
right.
You try to say, you wanted to get him when he just steps right out. If you can get one bolting out into the wide open field and staying there like a red fox will, that's like a gift from God.
Mm-hmm.
But I know I love the gray fox. I'd rather hunt the gray fox than anything. Then the red fox is still my passion. I love the red fox. Red fox, they're not stupid. Don't get you wrong, but the red fox is a little bit easier to call mm-hmm. out in the open, and especially Central Jersey, where there's, you know, I was in a meeting up there Sunday, and I talked to the guy at one of the meetings. I said, that'll all be against the law. And he said, what do you mean? I said, you know, I'm looking at fox tracks in the snow running through people's yards.
Yeah. You must have been in Monmouth. Right. Were you in Monmouth or Mercer County? I've seen that up there.
You're up there towards Stockton area. So whatever county that is.
Yeah, you're in Mercer, right? Mercer, border of Mercer and Huntington, yeah.
My goodness, Tom, I'm telling you, it should be against the law to have that many fox.
Mm-hmm.
But you know, getting into the foxes, use your distress sounds, use your pup distress. Your key with your fox is keep your tones down. In other words, start off low. If nothing's coming in with 2 or 3 minutes, then take your e-caller and crank it up. Let it run for a minute, maybe 2 minutes, 3 minutes, and then bring it back down. Unless you're in real thick stuff, then you got to run high volume.
Mm-hmm.
I tell guys all the time, you want to know what the fox is hearing and how far the fox can hear? You set your collar down in the woods, crank it on at whatever level you want, and then walk to see how far you can hear it. And the fox can hear it usually twice that far.
Wow.
So
yeah,
if you can hear it 300 yards, he can hear it 600 yards. But it's amazing how you can't hear it 100 yards, okay?
Mm-hmm.
Because of our thick, dense, especially when you get a thick pine woods or cedar woods, swamps, a layer of ice and snow on the ground and a layer of ice and snow on the branches.
Right.
That just shuts your sounds down, man. It just shuts them down. So you got to crank it up on that one.
Okay, Ronnie, give us three calls. Two for Fox and one for Coyote this time of year. Yep. Best bet. Go.
For Coyote, right now I'm going to do your distress, your bird sounds, and I'm going to do your breeding sounds. You want me to imitate them real quick?
Or go, man, breeding? Go.
All right, you're imitating. I'm going to do it on a diaphragm, but your chirps and your whippers for your estrus. All right, that was just a quickie.
Mm-hmm.
I don't know how that sound. Did it sound terrible or pretty good?
No, it sounded pretty good.
All right, that would be you all, another sound you want for your coyotes is your long howl. All right, you can do that. They're the vocals that you want to use. So a lot of times we're going to go in with a bird distress, maybe your woodpeckers, your pheasant. You can't go wrong with a pheasant sound, okay?
Sure.
And if your mouth calls, you're going to use your closed reeds is the easiest ones for everybody to do. But you can do your chirps for your bird-type sounds. For your fox, do your rabbit, okay? But also do your chirps and what have you. On a mouth call, I love mouth calls for foxes. So I can open read. I can do this.
Whoa.
Okay, you can just crank that out and do whatever you want. I hope I didn't blow everybody's ears out on that one.
That was good, Ron.
All right, but that was actually four different sounds that I threw in there.
Mm-hmm.
That's what's great about a mouth call. You can guys will say to me, what do I want to sound like? It's like you're dying.
You're right.
What kind of a sequence? You don't want to die. Okay. So just have fun and bring your mouth calls. You can take your tempo up and you can take your tempo down. You can take your volume up and you can take your volume down.
Yeah, Jones, before I let you go, that's a really hard break here. The one most common mistake predator hunting that leads to getting busted, is it what, scent, movement, like you said,
moving and wind, yeah.
Okay. And Ron, one last thing with the whole thing I see, well, Tom P, hunting predators, hunting coyotes, hunting foxes, you don't eat them. What do you do with them? You don't use the pelts. There's no money left. Just the ecological, Ron, the wildlife management aspect of controlling predator numbers.
Yeah.
It's viable, is it not?
Yeah. Yeah. And that's where the touchy situation comes in, because as a control person, we're what we're really doing right now, we're not on the air, right?
We are on the air, Ron.
Oh.
Yeah, we're still on here. And like I said, we have about 50 seconds left. Go, man.
Okay. As a control measure, we want to reduce the population, but as the management, which is what we as hunters should be doing, okay, we need to harvest that animal and then utilize that animal. We need to skin it out,
mm-hmm,
or take it somewhere to a taxidermist or whatever. And you know, there's still a good value for them. Maybe not as much as we had 5 or 6 years ago,
right,
but there's still a good value to it.
Mm-hmm.
So, you know, like I said, it is, as the predator control mindset is a total different ball game than what everybody's doing right now with the calling. You know, if I get called in to a coyotes killing sheep or you know,
sure,
my mindset's totally different than it's going to be right now as we're calling. So utilize the critter. Don't let it go to waste. And call them in, people. Just call them in.
Call them in. That's Ron, being hunted. That's that makes the hair on the back of my neck stand up, man. And like I said, Ron was there when I busted by a fox behind me. He says, Tom P, he had you dead to rights. Remember that, Ron?
Well, yeah, that happens. I can't tell you how many guys I've talked to that they're calling and they're in the middle of the night and a raccoon comes up to their pant legs.
No.
And they will not go back in the woods at night. They will not go hunting at night.
Hey, Ronnie, give that website a Facebook phone number, please.
It'd be ACP Rednecks Pride, 856-863-4168. And if you go to rednexpride.com, that should take you right to the website.
Yeah, Ronnie, you take care, man. Best to Donna and Jennings and the missus and Wyatt and that whole crew. We'll see you soon.
See you, buddy.
Take care. Ronnie Jones, ACP Red X Pride. Again, being hunted, predator hunting, you are the target. Hey, man, grab that cup, grab that Red Bull. Be right back. Rack and Fin Radio.
So what is Talk With a Purpose? It's a lively, informative, number one rated talk show on Saturday morning. Hi, this is John DeMasi. Join me and my guests every Saturday from 9 a.m. till noon for Talk With a Purpose, heard right here on WPG Talk Radio 95.5. And if you miss it on Saturday, we replay it on Sunday from 5 until 8 p.m. Don't miss Talk With a Purpose, Saturday and Sunday, right here on WPG Talk Radio 95.5, South Jersey's talk station.
Do you crave the thrill of success and all the opportunities that come with it? Are you an ambitious professional who seeks an exciting career opportunity with unlimited earning potential? Are your achievements most rewarding when they also benefit others?
If so, then you may have what it takes to join South Jersey's leading radio and online marketing sales team at Town Square Media. Discover your passion for advertising sales and earn a guaranteed salary while you learn. Leverage newfound skills in integrated marketing campaign design and help local businesses recover and grow in the coming year.
With commissioned gains and hands-on training, your income grows right alongside your skill set, so you'll never be making less than what you're worth.
Call Michael Rubel, Market President, at 609-910-5249 to schedule an interview. Kick off a challenging but fulfilling career in advertising sales with Town Square Media, Atlantic City. Positions are competitive and won't be available long. Call 609-910-5249. Town Square Media is an equal opportunity employer.
Download Rack and Fin Radio as a podcast on the WPG Talk Radio app. Rack and Fin Radio with Tom P. WPG Talk Radio 95.5.
And that'll do it for this week on Rack and Fin Radio with me, Tom P. Hey, man, a lot of stuff going on. Again, happy new year, a little early. Monday, opening of striper season, Back Bays, Tuttle Creeks, Tuttle Rivers. Ugly weather this weekend, probably a little ugly Monday. Little cold snap coming the middle of the week, but by the end of this coming week, it's going to be balls-to-the-wall striped bass fishing activity in the Back Bay. And don't forget, 10 a.m. this morning, hey, you fish the fresh waters of New Jersey, especially central and south, check it out. It's the Bureau of Freshwater Fisheries Virtual Freshwater Fisheries Forum. That's right, they used to have it at Bats, though. No, with the COVID thing going on. Okay, presentations include Bureau of Freshwater Fisheries updates. Okay, what is happening? Warm water fishing production updates. And they're stocking a lot of fish. We have New Jersey. Watch an article coming out in Fisherman pretty soon, man. New Jersey has become an exotic freshwater fishing destination, man. And potential impacts of climate change on freshwater fish. Okay, you can log on at info@njfishandwildlife.com/news/2021/FSHFORUM21.htm. Check it out. And again, there's going to be a question and answer period afterwards. However they're going to do that, I mean, raise your hand, put your name in. This is a chance to talk to the biologists. These are the people who formulate based on angler input is a big part of it, okay? Here's your chance to be heard. Democracy is not a spectator sport. Get involved. Okay, Tom P, see you next week. Rack and Fin Radio. Coyote Man and Foxes. Another couple of weeks going on with that. Get out and enjoy. See you next week. Rack and Fin Radio. God bless America. God bless our troops. God bless our first responders. God bless our military and police. See you next week. Rack and Fin Radio.
95.5 FM and